You wouldn't know it by the way the weather's been acting lately, but spring is here, and here's proof. Wisconsin's fishing opener is next weekend, so to get us up to speed on whether we'll need an ice auger to enjoy it, we've brought in the outdoor guys for a somewhat spring edition of the West Side Outside. I'm Rich Kramer, and thanks for joining us this evening. We've got a very busy show with five guests. As I mentioned before, we've got the outdoor guys, and they are Joe Knight, outdoor writer for the Eau Claire Leader Telegram, and Dave Carlson, host of Northland Adventures, a TV program dedicated to the outdoors, syndicated, based in Eau Claire. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
And also, we've got a special guest for this first half hour, and we're going to be talking about the tribal spearing season with Lac du Flambeau Tribal Chairman Tom Molson. Chairman Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And, of course, after 5:30, we'll welcome on some avid anglers, Bill Scherer and Jim Bishop, to talk about the 48th Annual Governor's Fishing Opener happening this year on Lake Namekagon near Cable. And, of course, we want to hear from you, the listener. Have you had enough of this crazy wintry spring? Are you itching to get out for the opener? Is your favorite spot still covered by ice? Let us know. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. You can also like the West Side on Facebook and then post your questions or comments there. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. It's been a while since we've had the outdoor guys on the program. We had a lot of politics and whatnot going on, so it's good to have you back. And
good to be here.
And I'd like to start off, with a basic question for Chairman Molson. The whole tribal walleye spearing quota has gotten a lot of press, and of course there's a lot of history about walleye spearing and some concerns among anglers about it. But what's the issue this year? I mean, why was the tribal walleye spearing, why is it so contentious, Chairman Molson, and what is different this year than before?
Well, I think this year is a little different in reference to right now the state and the tribe have, this tribe anyway, has no interim agreement, which was scheduled for the last 16 years, you know, in the Lac du Flambeau particular area, where our fishing people, and I say our fishing people's use of a spear, mm-hmm. has allocated an opportunity for a 3-bag limit for 16 years. And I guess, the total tribal governing body here has went to a referendum and the vote to go to a 2-bag limit, which Lac du Flambeau did. We didn't go to a 1-bag limit, but reduced to a 2-bag limit, which is just probably no different than some of the tribes have been doing for quite a few years out there within the ceded territory. So I don't really see a lot of difference other than the fact opportunities for our fishing group to acquire a little bit more fish than they have in the last, say, 16 years.
Chairman Tom, I've got to ask the obvious question, too, is how's this late ice out going to affect spearfishing this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's going to have a devastating effect on it, but, you know, once the ice leaves the shorelines for any length of time, I believe, you know, our tribal representatives have already identified the opener. They've identified that maybe tribal members can go and take a look and see if the fish are up in the shallows where, you know, every year that's where the spawning walleye does relate to spawning. And most of the time, the first guys that come up, as you guys know, and is the male walleye. And that's basically the percentages that are taken out there in the ceded territory based on the numbers that are allocated to the tribe, being a fish of 20-inch size, and one of between 20 and 24, and one no size. So we call the last two sizes from 20 to no size. It's sort of like mistake fish, but we've been, you know, keeping walleyes within the range of, say, 18, 17, in that particular area where those are the resources or the fish that we do take.
I think your quota this year was close to 60,000 fish, was it?
Well,
overall,
I think it's 50.
50.
No,
okay.
And we've never really reached that quota for a lot of reasons. You know, maybe one of the reasons that the fish have gone out to the deep by the time that they've reached maybe the smaller lakes that have already, you know, spawned out, and these fish have already receded back into deeper waters. But other issues come about. Could be stormy, could be rainy. Like you say, the ice is going to really have a major impact on a lot of the fishermen out there. May it be a fishing guy with a spear or with a casting rod. So, you know, we're looking at all of the elements that's going to be, you know, playing the part to maybe reduce the opportunity for, you know, both parties to take fish.
Have you had any precedent for this kind of spring? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, everybody's getting sort of what we call shack happy up here, like you all, you know, and we want to get out. I mean, we've got a lot of guys up catching crappies right now on the ice. I mean, you don't have to put a board to get out there. I mean, you still can walk from shore.
Wow.
So crappie fishing is good. All the pan fishing is good. So that's what they're taking right now.
Chairman Tom, let me clarify one thing, because I know we've reported through an AP story that a lot of lakes would have a one walleye bag limit. Now, is that incorrect? Because that, I think in the eyes of the sports fishermen, there's a big difference between a one walleye bag and a two walleye bag.
I believe some of the tribes have identified, I don't really have the numbers in front of me, but there's a I think roughly a little better than 100 lakes out there that's been targeted by the different tribes out there, like the Bad River Tribe, I believe, Mole Lake Tribe, and I believe another tribe, Red Cliff, where they've targeted a lake and just identified a one bag limit. But, you know, like I say, and everybody thought that Flambeau did that because we opt out of the deal with the state. We have not put a lake out there with a one bag limit.
Chairman, I'm sure some of our listeners don't know anything about spearfishing, much less the history of it and the court cases and so forth. And I'm not asking you to go through those court cases which affirmed treaty rights for the spearfishing seasons as well as other activities off reservations. But maybe talk a little bit about spearfishing, how tribal members do for it and prepare for it, and how the fish are used after spearfishing.
Well, you know, in the past, we've always had to prove ourselves up. And for the listeners out there, you know, spearfishing is a cultural way that we've been doing it for hundreds of years, you know, prior to the use of halogen lights and the motors and the boats that are used today. It was basically done by canoe and a torchlight. And that's why, you know, Lac du Flambeau has the name. Mm-hmm. Lac du Flambeau means Lake of the Torches, or in our language we call Waswaganeen Lake of the Torches. And we've, like a lot of the violators out there, they know what a walleye looks like in the water. Their eyes shine, same as a deer's eyes. And we've got probably, and I don't want to get into an argument of issues, but we've got a lot of people, non-Indian people, that take walleyes during this time of the year. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a lot of the rest that you see by the state wardens out there. But, you know, that right has been reserved for us, and I don't want to flaunt it in anybody's eyes, but, you know, it's sort of like a contract with America today, and that we have the right to do it. I'm the chairman of the Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Commission, and I've been that chairperson for the VOIT Task Force for almost 30-plus years. And we set our seasons. We set our daily bag limits. We base everything on biology out there. So we can only take X number of fish in a body of water that has been surveyed by not only the state, but by our survey group, the Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Committee. So we do, like I say, use halogen light on our heads, stand up in a boat, and we take the walleye with the use of a spear, maybe with a 15-foot pole, and it's got barbed up to 5 inches. And we have measuring boards in our boat to make sure that we're taking the right fish. That's why I say we talk about the two mistake fish. But we all know the different size fish in different lakes out there. So we're very cognizant about the resource and the numbers that are produced on different lakes.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we're talking about the 2013 spring fishing season opener, and right now we're talking about the tribal walleye spearing season with Chairman Tom Molson. We're also joined by the Outdoor Guys. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. That number again is 1-800-228-5615. And Chairman Molson, what is your response to, you know, accusations that this increase in the bag limit was a political retaliation of sorts against, you know, the iron mining bill or the wolf hunt bill?
Well, you know, I think, you know, that's almost like a given out there when people think that we're retaliating in that particular way. You know, we don't have to do that. You know, I've said that we're not going to mix in the same way with gaming when Tommy Thompson was the governor. We're not going to, you know, mix this here thing up with fish and chips, you know. Mm. And I just want to identify to the people out there, you know, that thing has been sanctioned by our governor. The governor has to live with it. If it goes awry, we can, as Indian people, can say, we told you so, you didn't want to listen to us. But I guess we always arguing our point, too, in reference to, you know, what's the value there? Once again, a few hundred jobs for a few years, mm-hmm. or the natural resources forever and ever for everybody.
How important, Chairman Molson, going back to my earlier question, how important are the fish, the walleyes, to the tribal members in terms of their diet, whatever?
Well, you know, we've been told by those old people that those fish are part of almost like the muskellunge. You know, a lot of our old people back home here, you know, they make a soup. It's sort of like a medicine. And the walleyes have been identified as, you know, the things that Ojibwe people have taken, even though everybody becomes historians and biologists, and they say that, you know, we only took the sucker and the bad fish, you know, in those areas. But it's important to us, you know, because it gives us identity as Indian people. And also it gives us an opportunity to make sure that we can look at preservation down the road a ways. And that's exactly what I think I told the state of Wisconsin. If, you know, if the general populace out there is having a problem thinking that there's no fish, you know, Lac du Flamme has been putting fish into their waters as long as I can remember growing up as a young person to where I'm at today, an older person. And I can just remember that, you know, we still have fish aplenty. And if there's a problem out there, let's deal with the problem as professional people. If we need fish, let's make sure that we put fish in the water. You know, we've got fish hatcheries. Flambeau's had a fish hatchery. Every tribe has just about got a fish hatchery out there, and there's no reason why we can't join forces to make sure if it's going to be a put-and-take resource out there, let's start to raise these fish if that's the, you know, concern of the sports anglers or tourism that come to the north.
And what about the take versus, you know, tribal take versus the angler take or the state fishing season take? There's all this anger and all this just consternation that comes up when the tribal spear season changes at all, or the level of the quota increases. What is some of the numbers do you have them handy on the tribal versus non-tribal take of walleye?
Well, not really, because we really don't know what the non-Indian angler takes.
Okay.
But you can definitely go to our website, the Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Commission.com, and get the actual number from the actual first day You know, and at night by night, you know, numbers of the take by the different tribes. So I guess, you know, we've got an accurate record out there, people. And feel free to get a hold of the Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Commission, and they'll give you accurate numbers. For instance, if we go to Lake A out there in the ceded territory, and there's 100 fish that can be taken, and you've got 10 boats out there, all they can take is 10 fish apiece. Out of the 10 fish, they got eight of them got to be under 20 inches, and two can be over 20. So, I mean, that's and they can't take a fish anymore. If there's a violation, it goes right into our judicial system, which we've had set up for some time. As a former judge myself, knowing I dealt with a lot of those cases.
Chairman Tom, I know that Jim Zorn of Glithwick had some concerns about the formula the state is using to come up with the allowable bag. It was something that wasn't really confirmed with by the courts, but it's something the state's doing to try to make sure the sports fishermen don't keep up their end of the deal and don't take too many walleyes. Do you think it's a fair process? And then, of course, if we do come up with a lake that just has a one walleye bag, people are concerned about that, the sports fishermen are. Do you think that process should be refined? Is that a fair process by your way of viewing it?
Well, you know, since we speared, and I can share this, that, you know, when the Native people put a spear in the water, it's an obligation of the state of Wisconsin to do a survey on that particular lake, and that's how those calculated numbers come about. But I really believe that, you know, they're very conservative, and I guess we could go on, or this year's show would go on for a long time if we're starting to get into the biology of this year thing. But, you know, we're willing to sit down with the state of Wisconsin. We'll be talking with Kathy Stepp come Monday here in Lac des Flambeaux with some of the tribes that that have identified a one-bag limit. And we'll see what happens. I mean, we've asked for a lot of considerations in the past 20-some years to make sure that the opportunity for our spears could be without a lot of flaw on it. You know, the 20-inch size limit, the 24, the no size. You know, I mean, there's a lot of fish out there that we were told in the early days that you all don't understand that they had stocked and put in, and the fish grow every year. So that makes a big difference out there in certain lakes. So these are the type of things where we have to come to some type of agreement to make sure that our tribal members can have the same opportunity, may it be with a hook and line or may it be with a spear, you know, to acquire the numbers of fish out there. And like I said, we don't have the numbers that the anglers have. We tried to put a lake together some years ago, I can remember. We said, we won't spear these lakes, but you can't fish them either. And the department at that particular time, I think it was George Myers, had indicated, no, we can't do that. I said, if we're looking at preservation, then we need to sit down and agree that we're going to preserve as a unified governing body to make sure that, you know, there's equality there.
How? What about your own plans, Chairman Tom? Are you going to go out?
You know, I haven't put a spear in my hand in over 15 years because, you know, my first efforts was to do the things for our young people that weren't here yet. And I've got young grandson that goes out, and he's a good spear. I've got a son that's, you know, all my kids are good at it, and they'll definitely be out there this spring, and I hope to go with them, you know, just to enjoy what we reserved as leaders for our people here in Wisconsin.
I hate to bring up something that's not really related to fishing or spearing, but I mean, it is related, but there is a news that came out this week that some funds, a Republican is considering taking back a $250,000 grant for a cultural center for the Lac des Flambeaux tribe based on the spearing declarations. He's almost using it as a kind of a bargaining chip. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he's using it as it's a hostage type of situation. You know, I mean, to use that in sort of dirty the relationships that we've had for all these years with the Department of Natural Resources and the state of Wisconsin, I think, you know, this guy is talking out of you know where. It is in his mouth. But I just think that, you know, this guy needs to really take a hard look at and look at the numbers out there. We're not really people, we're not really on a radar screen when it comes to taking a fish. You know, we've got less than a million walleyes out there that the state identifies as a safe harvest for everybody. And the numbers of anglers that we have, if one fish was taken by every angler, we would probably proceed and go far beyond the one, say, if it was a million safe harvest fish, there'd be three times that number. And that's sad. But we can't do that. I mean, we're not going to, you know, we'll deal with this here, gentlemen. If they want to take 250,000 that he talks about, am I going to get mad and hurt? Well, yeah, we're trying to put a culture center up. We're no different than any ethnic group out there or non-Indian group requesting grants from the state. You know, we've got things that we can do. It's not going to break my heart as a chairman. We'll find some money one way or the other, but it doesn't, you know, send a good message out there on behalf of all the legislators that we've created a good relationship with.
Got time for one more question?
Yeah, yeah.
Chairman Tom, what's the future of the walleye? I know not so much over in your part of northern Wisconsin, but in the northwest, we're seeing walleyes, lakes kind of being dominated by largemouth bass now, which sports fishermen don't seem to want to keep. Everyone seems to want to keep the walleyes. And the walleyes aren't doing as well, especially with these warm springs. I think this should be a good spring for walleye spawning, but... do you see that as a serious trend going on in the future?
Oh, definitely. I really believe that we need to, you know, that's why I say, you know, different groups out there need to sit down with the tribes. Look at Contuck Lake. I don't know if you guys know about that over by Mole Lake in that area where the state was just going to arbitrarily, you know, give it up to the panfish and the bass. And according to the agreement that we have with the state of Wisconsin and has been sanctioned by the court system, we said no. We want to restore them to a pristine walleye lake, and we need you guys' help to make that happen if that's what the fishermen want. Let's get together and let's do that.
All right. Well, Chairman Molson, thank you so much for joining us this hour. I know you're a busy man, but we really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. People out there, hey, my phone number over here in Lac du Flambeau, I've never lost a day. It's 588-3614, my home number, 614-3614, and I'll answer any question anybody wants to answer or, you know, give me. So be willing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you, Tom.
Take care.
Yeah, bye. Yep.
Now we're talking about the spring fishing seasons. First, we focused a bit on the tribal walleye spearing season, and in the second half of the program, we'll talk about next week's state fishing opener and the 48th annual governor's fishing opener on Lake Namekagon. We'll have more with the outdoor guys and bring on Jim Bishop and Bill Shear when we return. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to a somewhat spring edition of The West Side Outside. Thanks for tuning in. I'm joined by the outdoor guys, Dave Carlson of Northland Adventures and Joe Knight of the Eau Claire Leader Telegram this hour. And joining us by phone, we have two special guests this second half hour. First, I'll introduce Bill Scherer. Bill owns and operates the Wee Tyett Fly Shop in Boulder Junction. Welcome to the West Side Outside, Bill.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Bill, how you doing? Dave Carlson.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Bill. Joe Knight from the Eau Claire newspaper.
Hi, Joe. Good to hear you again.
And also, we're bringing on Jim Bishop. Jim is a retired DNR communications specialist from the northern Wisconsin regions who will fill us in on the 48th annual Wisconsin Governor's Fishing Opener happening this year, or next weekend, that is, on Lake Namekagon. Welcome, Jim.
Sure, let me join
in. There he is. Thanks for being with us, Jim. No problem. Our pleasure having you.
How you doing, Jim? Dave here.
Are you there, Jim?
Yeah, but you're breaking up a little bit.
I'm breaking up. Oh.
Okay, this is Dave Carlson. Good.
Oh, hi, Dave.
And we've also got Joe Knight here on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Joe.
All right. Well, so I guess the big question that I'm going to throw out to the group here is, are we going to need an ice auger for this spring fishing opener on a lot of lakes in northern Wisconsin? How about Jim Bishop for this one? Oh, we must be breaking up pretty bad. Say, Jim, are you there? And we lost him. Okay. How about Bill Scherer?
Yeah, well, I recommend spuds and snowshoes.
Yeah.
In some of our lakes.
There you go.
In some of our lakes, they haven't even let go from the shoreline yet. I know on Trout Lake, guys are right at the top of their ice auger still for drilling holes for whitefish and lake trout right now.
Hmm.
We're going to have some lakes up here that are open. Lakes that have current running through them, probably like the Eagle Chain, things like that, you're going to find some open water. But we're not going to have much open water up here. There's going to be plenty of ice out there. Might need a ladder to get out on the lake, but there's going to be plenty of ice on them, I think.
That's nuts. To me, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I was up ice fishing on Monday on the Chetek Chain, which is quite a bit further south than Vilas County, where Bill hangs out. And there was a good 20 or 22 inches of solid, clear ice there, too. That ice wasn't even thinking about melting. You could still see the striations of the ice augers in the hole. So I don't even think that ice is going to be gone by May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, my thought on this is, okay, so those lakes that are open, I know you're primarily fly fishing, but those lakes that are open for anybody wanting to go out and fish, what should they look for? How should they go about it?
Well, I think that we're going to have walleye spawning under the ice for sure. There's no doubt about that. They've done it in the past. They'll do it this year. But you're going to find more walleyes in current. So any place that's got a river or a creek coming in, there's going to be walleye stacked in there. And there'll be pike in there, maybe even an errant little muskie or two, but there'll be plenty of walleyes and pike in those places. So I would really expect anybody who's got some moving water, that'll be open, and there will be fish there for sure, especially this year. We're going to have higher water. We'll have a week of melt off here, so that'll give it a little time to warm back up a little bit. It won't be that first slug of cold water coming in.
And Jim Bishop, are you back on the line with us?
I am back up.
Thank okay, sorry for the technical difficulties there. I just got a press release from the Department of Natural Resources. Some of your colleagues or former colleagues, I guess, Kevin Harder, put out a release saying that open water finally in forecast for 48th Governor's Fishing Opener. You got the eyes on the ground up there, or eyes on the lake, I guess. What are you seeing? How thick is the ice, and is it covering the whole lake, Lake Namekagon?
Most of the lakes are ice covered. As of a couple days ago, there was anywhere from 20 to 25, 26 inches of ice on the lakes, and they were just starting to see some melting and thawing around the edges, and we're going to need about 3 or 4 days. And luckily, they're coming where we're going to get 60 up into the 60s, maybe even the 70s, to start really, really cooking that ice a little bit.
But will that be enough, do you think, to be able to get at least the governor's boat out on the lake and take a few pictures?
Yeah, and we've done that in the past. Back in 96, Lake Namekagon was still frozen, except for about 20 feet of open water around the edges. And we did get the governor out for some pictures and a little bit of fishing. And at that time, we used other lakes like Middle Eau Claire and Moose and Ghost Lake, which were open at that time.
Jim, I was talking to Kevin Harder, too, and he sounded like that was the best-case scenario, that they'd have a little bit of melting in the bays and you could slide some boats in but there'd still be ice on the main lake. And the worst case, of course, is that the whole thing would still be frozen. And I've even heard they've been seriously talking about ice fishing for the opener, and maybe even taking out boats and drilling holes.
Oh, that would be fun.
Along, it'd be an interesting photo opportunity, I guess.
It sure would.
Bill, up by you, any reaction from the tourism industries, motels, hotels, whatever? Any changes that you've detected? People not coming up, or canceling out, or anything at all? Or are they going to come up and still go through the motions?
I think that we'll still see some people come up. We don't get the big flush of tourists like we used to get years ago. So I think that it'll be somewhat subdued this year because of the fishing conditions I've had for the past week or week and a half. I've had a lot of customers calling me and asking me what the conditions are like. And, you know, again, my best advice is find a river.
How about trout? The trout waters, they're pretty good.
Well, the trout waters will be open. There's no doubt about that. The trout rivers are open now. This weekend, the UP-Michigan trout season starts. But I don't think we're going to see much activity from the trout until it warms up more, until we can get that water warmed up. Like I said, the melt-off, if it starts tomorrow, we might be okay, like on the boundary brule, for trout fishing, which also opens on Saturday because it is a border stream. The first day or two will be okay, but then once that enough of that meltwater gets in there, and that first bunch of water is going to be really cold, and that's going to slow the fish down until we can get some pooling of that water before it hits the rivers and warms up in some puddles and lowland areas. So I think that first week or so of the fishing season, even for trout up here, is going to be pretty tough.
Jim, I realize you no longer work for the DNR, but you had a lot of experience with the DNR talking about how late ice affects spawning operations for the hatcheries across the various species of fish, pike being first, then the walleyes, and later the muskies and suckers and so forth. What do you think? Have you seen or heard about much activity up there in terms of those folks sitting back on their nets and not doing anything?
Well, obviously, if they can't, if there's no lakes open, they're going to be sitting back on their nets, Dave, and that's true. The tough part in this whole thing is once that water starts to warm up, and if we get a warm flush of water and it starts going up to 40 into the 40 degree temperatures, those fish will start spawning. They'll spawn right under the ice.
Bill, you have a fly shop. Now, when the water's 40 degrees, are you allowed to put a shiner minnow on the end of your fly, or will you be a...
No, I wouldn't do that. Dave knows I wouldn't do that. But I don't know anybody who would. But we are very successful with flies for walleyes as well as trout early in the season. So that's not going to hold us back as far as what our fly fishing techniques are.
For those who don't know how that can be done, give us a little brief synopsis of what you'd have to do to take a walleye on a fly rod.
It's actually, walleyes are a sucker for a fly. Last year I was out with three buddies and we had over 100 walleyes one night standing shoulder to shoulder with guys fishing live bait, and we were out fishing them. It's really pretty easy. You can use your bass rig. It doesn't take anything special. A 10-foot sink tip line is perfect, a type 6 sink tip. You're only going to use about 4 feet of 12-pound test leader material. You don't even have to have a tapered leader. And then you want to use some sort of a clouser minnow. You want to use a minnow pattern. You don't want to use a crayfish. Stonefly nymph might work. But generally speaking, when the walleyes are moving up the rivers, you really want to target them with a minnow. We make something that I call a walleye clouser that works really, really well. And it looks like a little red-tailed chub or a little perch.
ice out before season, I've had a lot of fun going after crappies with a fly rod. And over on the Chippewa, I can remember a day last year where it was a little breezy. We tucked into a bay, and it was absolutely fantastic catching them on a fly. They just all of a sudden were there. And I would assume that a lot of panfish are going to be just, well, you tell me where.
Well, the crappies definitely will move in first, and you can find them in the brush. If there's some brush in 1 to 3 feet of water, the crappies are going to move right in there, especially on the northeast side of the lake. That gets the most sunlight. That will warm up the most. And if that bay is protected from the wind, if the wind can't blow all the way across that lake, that's even better.
Jim, I got to ask you, what about places like the Chippewa Flowage? Normally see a lot of boats some of the bigger waters that people gravitate to for the opener. What are you hearing from over in Spooner area?
All I'm hearing is just kind of a wait-and-see attitude. We're just praying for some warmer weather over here to open up some of these lakes, and we're hoping that some of these darker-stained lakes, some of the smaller lakes, will be available to the angler. We know that lakes like Shell Lake and the Namakok and the clearer water lakes, the deeper water lakes that hold the cold a lot longer, we know they're going to be full of ice. And again, any of the lakes that have got inlets and outlets, water flowing through them, that's going to soak up some of this warm weather, warm water, and melt that ice right away. Those are the ones we're going to be counting on for the anglers on the opener.
Jim, you always tried to get more respect for the northern pike, which, in fact, you taught me once how to fillet them without getting too many bones in the fillet, although it's a rather elaborate process. But do you think this, I know northern is one fish that does well in cold water, while the other fish may be a little sluggish. Do you think there'll be many people targeting northerns, or are you going to look for northerns in the opener, if you can find open water, that is?
I'm going to be looking for northerns in the opener, you bet. I'm going to have my steel leaders ready, and a real thin steel leader, maybe with a little larger jig, a little larger minnow, something that if there's a walleye down there, the walleye that I can attract. But at the same time, I want to make sure that I can zero in on some of those pike that generally are eager biters at almost any time of the year.
Pretty soon we might have too much to do here, because it could happen that the very same time the opener occurs, smelt might be running on Shawamigan Bay, and that pulls people from all over the state, all over the Midwest. What have you heard on that? I know I know Shawamigan Bay still got plenty of ice on
it. Yeah, as does the Twin Ports and all that.
Anybody?
I just got a phone call this afternoon from one of my customers up in Houghton, and the steelhead just started running up there today.
The steelhead or smelt?
Steelhead.
Oh, I was asking about smelting, though. Anybody?
Well, if the steelhead are running, that means that the smelt got to be right behind them.
Okay. Okay.
So this weekend would be your bet for heading north?
Yeah, I think that you'll see some smelt coming in already, especially if we can get enough melt to get warm water down the rivers. That's going to bring those smelt into the shallows.
So if the smelt start running and there's still ice there, I mean, will they spawn under the ice as well, or will it just be inaccessible? Will they be inaccessible to the smelt fishermen?
Well, I don't know about Shawamigan Bay, but I do know that up near Houghton, the customer that I talked to said that the last week, everything was all ice dammed, but this week it's open.
Cool. Well, let's take our final break here on the spring edition of the West Side Outside. We're talking with Joe Knight of the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram, Dave Carlson, host of Northland Adventures, and we've also got special guests Jim Bishop, retired DNR communications specialist, and Bill Scherer, owner of We Tie It Fly Shop in Boulder Junction. We'll have more when we return.
I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to a somewhat spring edition of the West Side Outside. We've got the outdoor guys on the program, Joe Knight and Dave Carlson, and we're also joined by special guests Jim Bishop and Bill Scherer. Jim is a retired DNR communications specialist, and Bill Scherer is owner of the We Tie It Fly Shop in Boulder Junction. If you've got a question or a comment, we've got some real fish experts here on the program this hour. The number is 1-800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. Also, if you've missed part of the program or would like to listen again, just check out the Westside Archives by going online to WPR.org, clicking on the Westside, and you'll find hundreds of archives from years of worth of programs. With that, we're back on with Jim Bishop and Bill Scherer, Joe Knight, and Dave Carlson.
I've got a question for both Jim and Bill. How are the walleye populations in your area, just from your viewpoints?
Okay, let's start with Bill.
I'd say that the walleye populations are pretty stable right now. I've seen good sized walleyes last year, the last couple of years, and good numbers, even in some of the small lakes that generally don't get as much attention as the larger lakes do.
And Jim? Did we lose Jim again?
I think your better bets are going to be on some of the flowages, and like the Minong flowage, Chippewa flowage, those seem to be, the populations of the walleye seem to be a little bit better in those lakes than some of the other lakes that I've been on recently.
Okay. I'm wondering about, we've had a lot of precipitation, a lot of rain, a lot of snow. I imagine that's helping out lake levels. I think one of you alluded to it earlier, but will that change the way the fish behave during the beginning of the season? And I'll either one, Jim or Bill.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, if there's going to be a lot of water flowing into them, the waters are going to be a little bit muddier than usual, especially those with inlets and outlets, and that water is going to be a little bit dirtier. So you may want to go with something a little more flashy or something that's going to catch that fish's attention a little more.
Okay. And Bill?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Another thing that we'll see is as those lake levels rise, it's going to give the fish more area to move into spawning areas that perhaps they haven't had accessible to them for the last several years. So I would look a little bit farther back in if you have higher water levels than where you've been looking in the past couple of years.
All right.
Okay. Jim, if Lake Namakagan is frozen on May 4th, do you have a plan B? Are you going to go come down here to Eau Claire and join us with the governor's entourage, or what do you think?
No. One of the plans are... We kind of figured that Lake Hayward might be open, and we know that there's a pretty good fishery over there. And we're also looking at, again, like some of the smaller lakes, some of the more dark-stained lakes, like Middle Eau Claire and Ghost, some of those. So that's kind of our plan right now.
According to the release, the Eau Claire chain of lakes was the fallback in 96 when there was a weather-related issue, which I assume there was a frozen lake. And at the time, I think it was exactly the same situation.
Yeah, Namakagan.
Yeah.
Governor Thompson was the governor then, and I can still remember jumping in a boat and it being pushed away from a dock, and he made it about 50 yards and a bunch of pictures, and then he got the next flight back to Madison.
Well, I guess that brings up a question that I'd like to put to Jim Bishop. Do governors actually ever catch anything during this photo op?
Well, yeah, exactly on Lake Namakagan, and I think it was back in 2001, 2002, I believe, Governor Doyle did catch a northern on Lake Namakagan, his first morning out.
Wow.
Though in fairness to the governors, they usually don't. They usually have a very busy schedule, so they show up Friday night, give a speech, and then go out and fish a couple hours and Governor Walker actually fished quite a bit a couple of years ago when it was on Lake Wissota.
Yeah, was that when there was the boats with the protest signs following him around?
He had a whole committee following him around, and police boats getting between the protest boats.
That was interesting. All right, well, Governor
Walker did get out there for a couple, 3 hours, and he came back, did some interviews with the press, and then, by golly, got back in a boat and went right back out. So.
Well, gentlemen, that's pretty much all the questions that I've got. Jim or Bill, any tips, overall tips for anglers heading out that you want to hit on again before we let you go?
I would fish low and slow. The water's going to be cold. The fish are going to be fairly lethargic, even though they're in spawning mode. They keep the bait down deep in the water column. Maybe not necessarily deep water, just deeper, get it all the way to the bottom, and don't move it real fast. Just jig it along real slow.
All right. And Jim?
Yep, if those waters dip, those waters do warm up a little bit, those fish are going to start getting active real fast. Use something a little bit flashy, and I'll go along with that. Just go nice and slow, a nice little jig twitch, and you should find fish.
How about bait supplies with the ice cover on? Is it going to be tough for the bait shops to be, get their normal quotas of minnows?
That I really don't know too much of, Dave. But I, in all my experiences of fishing up here, I've yet to have a problem with the bait shop supplying bait. I know that sometimes they've even imported baits or bait from down south, and. For some reason, they always seem to manage to find a way to get some minnows in their tanks.
Bill's got no shortage of flies to sell either.
Yeah,
that's right. I know from past experience, though, that the bait dealers, they've got ponds that have got pretty good running water in them.
Good.
So I don't think they'll have any difficulty supplying live bait.
All right. Well, Jim Bishop, a retired DNR communications specialist, keeping track of Lake Namakagan for the governor's fishing opener, and Bill Scherer, owner of Wee Tight Fly Shop in Boulder Junction. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a good opener.
Thanks, Bill and Jim.
And so with that, we've got a few minutes left here, gentlemen. I know that there's a couple of events that Joe, you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I'd like to plug a couple of upcoming events. One is called the Sci-Fi Festival, or Sci-Pi, or Pi-Sci. I get the two mixed up. It's Main Street Cafe has donated 100 pies to Beaver Creek Reserve for a pie, all-you-can-eat pie breakfast. Mm. And at the same time, they're holding a science festival with hands-on things like building bluebird nests and catching wild bees, and they got a bunch of other projects going. It's sort of to showcase what they're up to with their Citizen Science Center.
Sci-Pi, very
right,
cool.
Right, 9 o'clock, yeah. And the other local thing, they're having a county cleanup, calling it Our Lands Project, a county forest cleanup. They're taking on the town of Seymour this first year, and unfortunately, town of Seymour being the closest part of the county forest to Eau Claire, gets all the old refrigerators and microwaves that people don't want to pay to dispose of. So that will begin, meet at the chalet at the Tower Ridge Recreation Area at 9 o'clock, and they'll disperse from there, and then they'll end with a lunch. A lot of businesses getting behind that, too, and helping with that.
And Dave Carlson, I understand that there's going to be a land stewardship event coming up in May, I believe, and you're going to be...
I'll plug this, because Dave's the... Dave's got kind of a little bit... With a little bit of arm twisting, it's a retirement dinner, although he's not quite all the way retired yet.
Right.
Or he won't be on the radio with us, I guess. And it's a fundraiser for a cause that is near to his heart. It's a little-known program that we hope to remedy by having this banquet May 20th called the Eau Claire County Land Stewardship Program. And the idea is to buy up or lease important pieces of land that are available to the county. It can be in the county forest, can be anywhere else. Do you want to say why you like this stewardship program, David?
Well, you're right. It's near and dear to the hearts of a lot of people. It's a great conservation effort that the county is trying to do, average citizens, and they need this to raise funds for that activity. The county created the committee, but did not fund it a couple of years ago. And there's a lot of work to do out there. It seems like we peak in And we have ups and downs in conservation movement. Some people think we're in a little bit of a down area now, and there's still plenty to do. And it's not about me so much as it's about others with the same vision of stewardship. And there'll be people talking there that night about stewardship. Tell them where they can get tickets.
Okay. I'm not quite sure. It's May 20th at the Florian Garden, 6 p.m. Where can we get tickets? There's a newspaper we have a PDF where people can plug into that and get the tickets. Otherwise, call the Land Conservation Department, I think, at Eau Claire County, which is administering the program.
Talk to Kelly Jacobs.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's our time. I'd like to thank all my five guests for taking time to be on the program, including Lac du Flambeau Tribal Chairman Tom Molson, Bill Scherer, owner of the Weetide Fly Shop in Boulder Junction, Jim Bishop, and, of course, the outdoor guys, Joe Knight and Dave Carlson. I'd also like to thank Team Westside for helping make this program possible, including Mort Cypress for handling on-air production, Henry Lippold, Dean Kallenbeck, Hillary Cruzan, and Grace Fair. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the weather. Until next Thursday, we'll chat again then, I guess. Take care.